John's Gospel, chapter number 4. I'd like to read one verse again this morning. I read this text last week, but I certainly didn't have time to get into where I felt like I needed to get to and get done with this passage, but found in John's Gospel, chapter number 4, verse number 24. We'll read one verse today if you can stand and honor the reading of the Word of God today. John 4 and 24. The Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible said, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him, here's our phrase, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You may be seated today. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Scriptures. Father, we thank You today for Your goodness, mercy. We thank You that we have a Bible that teaches us right. I pray now You'd help me in the Word this morning. And God, as every man of God that stands around this nation, I pray that You'd help them. And God, would You continue to be merciful to our nation? Would You help our country? God, would You help our church and its people? Thank You for Your goodness and the way You've blessed us at this place. May Your Son be honored and glorified today through this of preaching. In Christ's name I pray and ask You, amen. A lot of controversy about who God is. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter number 1 that man can look around in creation and realize there is a God. Then He speaks to man has a conscience where he can realize there is a God. But you know, men and women, the Bible teaches us that our conscience can become seared. America seems to, as many believe, there is a God. But this morning, let's see what God says about the worship of God. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, throughout this county in Carroll County, we're right now about 25 minutes to 12. There's many signs stated the worship hour is at 11 o'clock on many churches. But I guess my first question to you is, do you really know what worship is? And do you know who we are to worship? We don't worship buildings, even though God has given us one of the most beautiful facilities that we could come in to honor Him, sing praises to Him. We don't worship things, but we worship God, who is a spirit. He's full of love, compassion, and mercy. He's also a God of wrath. You hear about the love of God, but this Bible also describes Him as a God of wrath. God is a jealous God. He tells us not to have no other idols before Him. And we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, in this text, it takes us from a woman at the well that Jesus introduced Himself to her. He simply asked this Samaritan woman, "Give me to drink." Just a few words that He spoke to this woman. I sure am glad that God initiated the conversation about Him in my life. So God had the first word. We realize that God must reach to mankind. Then mankind by faith must reach back to God. God is a missionary-minded God, for God so loved the world that He gave. I'm glad God had us on His mind. Here He saves this woman at the well. But as God begins to deal with her about her sin, He had asked her to drink. She was quite confused. She is a Samaritan. That was an intermarriage between Jews and the people of Samaria or Babylon. They were very discarded by the Jewish race, and she was amazed that Jesus, being a Jew, would ask her to give him a drink. It blew her mind. She couldn't believe that a Jew would say something to a Samaritan. Well, can I tell you today that God is no respecter of person? God looks upon the soul. He doesn't see us as young or old, but we all have a soul that's going to meet God. And so, as He deals with this lady, you remember He told her something in verse number 15. As He dealt with her, He said, "Well, go call your husband and come hither." Well, this woman immediately, she felt conviction. She was troubled about her sin because she had had a very loose lifestyle, and the man that she was living with now was not her husband, and so she became convicted about her sin. And God said, "Go," in conviction, but then He said, "Come," in compassion. Aren't you glad that when God convicts us of our sin, that He will also show us compassion if we react to Him by faith? And so this lady confesses to Him and says, "Sir, I have no husband." And you remember in that text a few Sundays ago, Jesus said, I know that. He said, I know your past and your present. So she brings up something in this passage. She brings up this conversation about worship. She's convicted about who she is. She says in verse number 20, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." He says, "Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." And we realize that that salvation is Christ. He came to save mankind. Then He says, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Now, as this lady is convicted about her sin, she changes the conversation about worship. So as the Lord is giving her more light, a few more verses, she gets saved. She leaves her water pot at the well. She goes and she says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." Aren't you glad there is the God-man, the Lord Jesus, that we can go back and tell others about? But now Jesus, as she moves this conversation, He clarifies this about worship. And I want to clarify something in the main thrust of this sermon this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, He dealt in verse 20 and 21 about the place of worship. He said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." She said that, "And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father." So we see here the place of worship. Now the problem of worship. He's telling her simply, it's you know not what. It does not matter where you worship, but who we worship. And so it does matter who we worship. That is God. He is a spirit. So then, verse 22, there's the person of worship. He clarifies to her, but this truth is so deep, she really don't grasp this phrase. For He says, salvation is of the Jews, the person of worship. And we know that is Christ. But then verse 23, have you thought about this since I read it last Sunday, verse 23? Look at the pursuit of worship. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, here's the word, seeketh such to worship Him. Now, isn't that amazing? The God that made the heaven and the earth, He put the stars in the sky. The God that breathed the breath of life into us. Yet He's looking for something that He cannot make or manufacture. He's looking for worship from His people. And I want to do my part. A God that hung on the cross for me, and He's looking for something out of me. I will return that to Him for the kindness and favors that He has showed me. Every time in this church when we gather, I've always tried to base and build this ministry on simply the Word of God. I love singing. But you'll notice this, singing is not mentioned. I love hymns and songs as it prepares our heart and our emotions. But friend, worship goes way beyond that this morning. Worship is that which comes from the heart of what you realize that God has done for you. And today, we see this pursuit of worship. He seeketh such of those. You know, when we pulled up here this morning, we that are saved, when we got out, you know what God was looking for out of us? Worship. Worship. Now, people worship different. A lot is in emotions. I know that. I love shouting. Some of you young people in days of old are the culture that is swiftly leaving our country. The old saints of God used to have a holy shout. Man, they'd shout, and I mean, they would scare people sitting beside them, but it's what was going on in their heart. Can I tell you that shouting's still in order in the house of God? I want to remind you that this is going to be the quietest place we ever go, for heaven will be singing praise and honor and glory to Him that took away our sin. There's not going to be a quiet side and a loud side. You better be getting in tune and getting in practice of going to heaven. You say, well, I don't want to go to heaven. You better get ready to go because you're not staying here. That's for sure. And so, this pursuit of worship, God is looking for worship out of His people. Now, I realize there are many aspects of worship we give in our worship. We can be vocal in our worship. But He's simply looking for something in our heart. I want to ask you today, has God ever done anything for you that has touched your heart? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Now, watch this. The pursuit of worship, but now He talks about the practice of worship. How are we to worship? What does this Bible tell us of how we are to practice worship? Well, it's a spiritual exercise. It's not head knowledge. It's from the heart. And so, when a man's heart turns to God by faith, the Bible says that the Spirit of Christ comes and lives in us. Therefore, now we are in Christ. We're a new creature. Old things have passed away and become all things have become anew. So there has to be something that has happened to make us aware of God from our spirit to His spirit. Now, what people don't realize is we were all dead in trespasses and sins. If I'm to worship Him in spirit and in truth, then my spirit must be connected to His spirit in order to worship Him. I've got to have the right kind of spirit. And so the Spirit of God must live in us. A man that is born, he's never been born again. The Spirit of God does not live in him. Now let's look at this great teaching. I think about Brother Tim every time I go to this chapter because he loves Ephesians so much, but look in Ephesians chapter number 2 now on this practice of worship. It's a spiritual exercise. We must worship in spirit. Ephesians 2, I want you to go there, and then I'm going to read this verse to you. Maybe we'll whet your appetite this morning. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, I'll beat Ephesians, but I want to say this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So that lets me know that a natural man cannot worship God out of his spirit because he is a dead man. He's not alive toward God. But I sure am glad that I've got news for you. You can be made alive with God by the Spirit of Christ that would move into your heart, that you could be born again by the grace of God. So the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness of him. Now the people that have passed by this building, they'll be hooked up to the boat, and boy, the crappie's biting, the spots are on fire at Wee Dowie, and they'll go by and say, man, look at all them crazy people. That parking lot's full of people. Why aren't they out enjoying things? Because something happened to us. We're no longer a dead person. We've been made alive by the Spirit of God. Their foolishness to the natural man. And then in 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 is a very powerful verse. Go into Ephesians. Just stay there. I want to read this. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Here's our text. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and been all made to drink into one Spirit. So there had to be something happen to me and you. As we were young children, we had no thought of that. But as we got older, we got to realizing about ourselves. And God began to deal with us with the Word of God around the people of God. As a testimony of Brother Jake gave a while ago, God uses all these things to enlighten people, to draw them to Him, that He may respond to Him by faith. Now, something had to happen. I want to show you in the Bible what happens. In Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 1, and you hath He quickened. You know what that word means? It means to be made alive. He's made us alive in Christ. We were as dead people. God began to deal with us and we responded by faith. And so God done a big work in us. He quickened us. He made us alive. Where in time past, you walked according. Look, time passed. Now, if you still want to do all these things and you have the lifestyle of doing these things, I would question if verse number 1's ever happened in your life. For in time past you walked, or it was a lifestyle, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Here it is, the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Friend, let me tell you something. That crowd there can't worship God because they don't have the Spirit of God living in them. They're dead. But Christ hath quickened us, made us alive. Look at this in verse 4. But God, who's rich in mercy, and you better believe He is. God ought to have killed me years ago. God ought to have killed many of you years ago. But I'm glad He is rich in mercy. Honey, I sure am glad that I don't have to keep myself saved. You know why? Because God is rich in mercy. When I do a sin in my life, the Spirit of God that lives in me convicts me of that. When I confess them sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad you ain't got to keep yourself saved this morning? God's rich in mercy. Oh, what a wealth of His mercy for His great love wherewith He hath loved us. So here's the word. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, I'm glad that's in my Bible. So now I want you to look in Colossians 1 and 10. Boy, here's a great text. Colossians 1 and 10. about us being born again, receiving the Spirit of God. Colossians 1 and 10. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power and to all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Here it is, verse 13. I saw this one time, the first time I saw it, Brother Mike. And don't y'all write me off, but I was up in a deer stand reading my Bible. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to get down from up there when I seen this right here. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This word translated us into His kingdom. Do you see that? There's been a change made. Something has happened. You know what it means in the Greek and Hebrew meaning? It means picking up out of darkness and placed over into light. I sure am glad that God has baptized me in the family by the Spirit of God. He's made me alive. And now I'm God conscious. Now I can commune with God. Now I can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Has this transaction ever happened in your life? Has there ever been a time when you was like a woman at the well? God convicted you of your sin. You know, it's not popular to preach on sin in this day and this hour. But I come to tell you, preaching on sin is still right in this day and this hour. Sin will kill and destroy us. It's always brought death. But Christ brings life. So has there ever been a time that you've seen your sin as a sinner? You realized you needed Christ and you responded to Him by faith. Now, I want to remind y'all of this before I get done preaching. You remember the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul, and he got saved on the Damascus Road. Y'all remember the Bible says in Acts 9 that that light shined suddenly down from heaven, and it was an earthquaking experience with him. He fell to his face, and he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And you know that troubled me a long time, Brother Daniel, about a lot of people, because I had that type of experience. But as I began to study my Bible and grow in the Lord, I realized this. The woman that had an issue of blood, you know how she got saved? She simply reached out and touched the hem of His garment. You know what? Those two things are so much alike. They both had faith. And God was present. And I sure am glad that, you know, I had an experience like Paul. God came upon me mightily and struck me down. But this woman with an issue of blood, she simply realized she needed Christ and she reached out by faith. That's being saved this morning. You remember the other Sunday I was preaching on as the Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses was in the wilderness. There they looked by faith. You must look to Christ by faith. Has this transaction ever happened in your life where you've been translated, where God has brought you from the kingdom of darkness and placed you in the kingdom of light? Now, if you've not been saved very long, it's something that you'll notice. You're starting to receive more light that you never had before in all your life. You see, a dead man knows not the things of the Spirit of God. But once the Spirit of God becomes to live in us, He starts to unlock these Scriptures. He shows us more about who we are and who He is. Matter of fact, I was reading behind a man this week and he said, "The more I study the Scriptures, the more I see myself as a sinner." And can I tell you, the more we read this Bible and see how good God is and how holy He is, the more we'll realize and see that we were sinners. But He's the Savior. And so she saw herself as a sinner. She come to faith in Christ. And here in Colossians 1, he says, "He hath delivered us from the power of darkness." Wasn't that a bad place to be in the power of darkness, groping around with no light? I've noticed when you're in darkness, you stumble and fall into many things. But I sure am glad one day that God pulled the blinders off me, put the light in my heart, and now I can see like I've never seen before. I still make mistakes. I'm still robed in flesh. I'll fight this right here till I go to my grave. But I sure am glad it's somebody living in on the inside of me today that has translated me into His kingdom by the blood of His Son. Now, look in 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. It says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now hath obtained mercy. Now, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Oh, I'm glad God has done a work in us that we can worship Him by the Spirit of God. Now, He says also, Spirit and in truth. He says, now, if you really want to know who I'm seeking, I want those to worship me that has been saved. Those that the Spirit of God lives inside, they must worship me not only by Spirit, but by truth. By truth. What's He talking about? By truth. I want to say, God is so good. God is so long-suffering, and we were all so, so bad. You know, some of the hardest people to ever reach with the gospel is people that do pretty good. They're not in gross sin. They go to church. They do the best they can. But that's not going to get you to heaven. The Bible said you must be born again. We were all born sinners. But now that we've been saved, I'm glad we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. The truth of the matter is this, you must be saved. Now, could y'all imagine this? I want to say this before I'm done. There's many places today call it a worship hour. They turn their buildings completely dark. They have lights flashing. They'll have music playing so loud that you won't even be able to hear when you leave the building. They call that the worship hour. I wonder about that. I wonder about that we've got into a culture where we've made God the beggar instead of us the beggar. You see, we live in a culture of marketing and schemes. Why, it's amazing what goes on in churches and they call it the worship hour. Are you kidding me? In spirit and in truth. If it goes against this Bible, you know what? It goes against God. God says that we're not to love the world or be of the world. Man, we brought a rock band in here. You know, it got into Christian rap before long. You know, a few years ago, Christian rap was a big thing. Ba-boom, ba-boom, boom. I had one of the best German Shepherd dogs I ever raised. His name was Luke. Megan and Macy would leave their bicycles down at the grandparents. That dog would lay down, Brother Kevin, right by their bikes. They'd come out, got on, he'd walk them home. But one day, there was a car come up the road, and man, it had them new amplified speakers in it. I heard it out back. It's jarring the trees and the foundation. That big German Shepherd dog popped his ears up, and he run toward the road. And even that kind of music could kill a dog. Somebody say amen. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And may Liberty Baptist Church hold on to the truth that He is holy. He's to be high and lifted. You know, I'm so thankful. I'm closing. But I want to say this. I'm thankful that I've got a people that I get to pastor that's not trying to get this church to go to the world, to go in marketing and performance, give away a big screen TV. Why can't we just have church and worship God? Preach out of the Bible. Love each other. Keep our altars open. You know, I want to say something about this revival that's broke out of Kentucky. I've not been there. I don't know. But I can tell you what some said this week. A pastor drove there 2.5 hours, stood outside 2 hours in order to get in, had to get in the balcony. He said, I tell you what I experienced. He said, I experienced people just thanking God. There was no lights flashing, nothing going on. And whether, you know, your opinion, you can hold it and have it. But I'm going to tell you something. Young families realize that marketing and the culture of this world does not give us any help. We need the Lord. And families, I want to say as your pastor this morning, when you come in the doors of this church, it is my heart to keep this ministry in old-time worship. And I don't apologize about nothing this Bible has to say. This culture that's taking... Brother Dave, Brother Mike, you know what my heart bleeds about? Is what my grandbabies is going to have to be raised in America, that they'll never know where we come up and what we done. Can you imagine what's happening in our country to your children? Books that would make me blush if I read in my living room by myself. We're in a mess. You young people don't realize the mess we're in. I've seen where we used to be. And now I'm in a culture where we are. But I come to tell you, I'm going to give you a promise. I'm going to stand on the Word of God and lift up Christ and tell you that He come to save sinners and God can change you. My heart is so saddened over our nation, but I know the Lord's soon to come. Miss Sherry's going to come play this morning. I want to ask you, are you ready to meet the Lord? We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means my spirit must be right. You know, I said something last Sunday. It does matter how our spirits are. First of all, we have to receive the Spirit of God in us, but then it's up to us to keep that Spirit right. We must stay in fellowship with God. God don't turn us into robots. We all have wills, and we that have been saved by the grace of God, we ought to apply this truth in our life that we can worship Him every day of our life, just not on Sunday. But it's on Monday. Everything we do, God is first. And that's the way we ought to be raising our children. We just don't come to church on Sunday to worship. We should worship every day of the week, thanking God out of our hearts what He's done for us. Young families, I want to say this because I'm a pastor at heart. There's ever been a generation that needs an old-time Bible preaching church. It is this hour. That your children need to hear what God says about what is right and what is wrong. Homosexuality is still wrong, young people. Same-sex marriage is still wrong. Can you imagine your children being taught that they can choose their own gender? That's where we live. You better keep them under preaching. There's hope for America in Christ. And you know something, you here that are lost today? Christ died for you. And some of the best friends in my life go to church here. They're here this morning. Some of the best friends I've ever had. But I've never had a friend like this friend. The one that understands me and loves me and helps me in every situation of life. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. The other Sunday, Renee, you know, I said our spirit must be right, this spirit, in order to worship. Me and you'd got a little spat a couple of weeks ago, and I come here on Sunday morning, and that just had bothered me. And then I got home, the devil said, "Man, you told everybody you and Miss Preacher got in a spat." Sure did. But isn't that something? He run me to death about that because I told you that. Well, don't y'all realize I'm a human too? I wished I was bulletproof. Real flesh. Real life. But I come to tell you, Jesus lives in me. And I'm thankful that He does. And this morning, if you've never been saved, won't you come? Bow your knee to Christ. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. There's a man emailed me last week about our church, about its doctrine, wanting to come visit. He said, "Do you believe in repentance?" I sure do. Jesus said, "Unless ye shall all repent, ye shall likewise perish." That means turning from your sin and following Him. I believe it's still in the book. I'm glad I'm in the book. Brother Jacob, I'm glad there's a record book. This morning, Miss Sherry plays. Our altar is open. Whatever you need from the Lord. If you want to be saved, won't you come this morning, trust Christ? Has God troubled your heart? Won't you come and ask Him to give you peace? Simply surrender to Christ by faith. Call upon one that loves you and will help you. Would you come this morning as we tarry a few moments? I know many's come and prayed. If you need help from the Lord, would you come today? There's room for you and time for you. Would you come? By faith, would you come?